not your friend. You don't go over there and shake hands, smile, and hug their neck.
Let's knock them on their backs, butt them in the mouth, knock their ass in the dirt. That's what we got to do.
We got to stop that buddy ball. Smash everybody in the mouth.
Hey, baby, we're going to be here all day, baby. I like this kind of party. I like this kind of party, baby.
You're in the Doghouse with Rick Watson and Big Dog Sports Talk on 105.3 The Bear.
Remember, with great power comes great responsibility.
You know what that means? Do you? We're the underdog. We're mutts.
My number one play is the power sweep.
If you only knew the power of the dark side.
Welcome in to Hour 3, the Power Hour, on Big Dog Sports Talk with Rick Watson. Join the conversation now on the Baker Team Hotline, 540-731-1053, or text Rick and the show at 744-2990. And now your host, the Big Dog, Rick Watson.
Safely underway here on this Tuesday. Thanks to Jermaine Farrell. Mike Burnham will return next Tuesday. Joining us now on the program, he's our NFL correspondent, Radford University Hall of Famer, David Smith. David, how are you? Good morning, my friend.
Rick, doing great, brother. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Hope all is well on your end. Everything good up there in the NRV?
Yeah, man. 4th of July week. You and the fam heading out. You got anything special planned this week?
Yeah, we'll be in the R. PA will be in Richmond celebrating that with the girls and the grandbaby, and so that'll be a lot of fun. But I did hear you mention prior to this segment that the NFL is literally around the corner.
It's
I was
here.
Going to look at the text that you or the tweet that you texted me last week, and the Houston Texans veterans actually report on 7/17. So today's the 2nd. So was that 15 days?
15 days, man. Yeah.
Right. And so Houston and Chicago actually go in early. I'm not sure if they're actually the Hall of Fame opponents this year. Typically, they go in a week early for that Hall of Fame game. Maybe that's it.
I think they are.
To
yeah.
The preseason. So I think 7/16 for the rookies and 7/17 for the vets or somewhere thereabouts. So saying all that to say, it is right here upon us. But as we slog through the dog days, because there's nothing popping right now unless you're Keon Brown with all this NDA that you
true,
can chat about.
Very true.
It is that kind of bridges with otherwise the doldrums of summer, which is probably why we need to go be with family and hang out on cookouts, right, Rick?
Yes.
That's probably what we need to do.
No question whatsoever. Well, we completed our tour through the NFC pre-training camp. Now it's time for the AFC, and we start out with the East. Of course, that division houses your favorite, the Dolphins. But how are you breaking it down, looking at the AFC East heading into training camp?
A lot of intrigue when I was unpacking this AFC East, because there's a lot of teams in transition one way or the other. And we'll start with the team that has been the champions of that division for a number of years, is the Buffalo Bills. Last year, coming off of an 11-6 season, they were first in the AFC, the AFC East champs. They had a tumultuous offseason, but they had an offseason of transition, as I just mentioned, when they decided that they were going to part with Stephon Diggs and send him to Houston. And so, as my brother mentioned to me yesterday, man, I sure hope Stephon Diggs doesn't go down there and really mess up that good, positive energy.
I know.
And that's one of those things where you sometimes take a guy with talent and you just hope that the guys that are there that are just all – you know, we're not in there, Rick, but just positive and good energy. And now, he was one of those sage veterans that you kind of go, I'm just here to help and I'll get what I get, that's fine. But Stephon Diggs, and this is what makes him great, is a guy that feels like he should be involved in all the winning and all the plays. And I'm going to trust our guy, D'Amico Ryan. We're going to trust him to be the guy to go, we're not having that here, you can go home kind of guy. But anyway, so Buffalo doesn't have him now. But what they do have, Rick, is a tough schedule of opponents. They open up the season home against Arizona, 1 o'clock game on CBS, and you go, okay, that's fine. But then they go that on a short week, they've got to go to Miami on a Thursday night. Thankfully, they avoid the heat wave that Miami puts you through for those 1 o'clock games on a Sunday. So that'll be an 8:15 night game. But listen to this array of opponents that they play this year. Just the way the schedule works out. And of course, the AFC East will play the NFC West this year. But there, here's a stretch in consecutive weeks. They're at Baltimore, and they're at Houston, and then they're at the New York Jets. Those are three consecutive games, and the Jets game is a Monday night game. Later that season, they've got to go to Seattle. They've got to go to Indy, and back-to-back, they're home against Kansas City. But along that stretch, included a bye, they're home against San Francisco. They're at the Rams, and then they're at Detroit. Those are monster games just in totality of what they've got to navigate. But, you know, again, Mike Tomlin would say, you know, what do you want? This is the NFL. Every week's hard. Even though we've got these names and these brands that we think represent a certain amount of higher level of toughness, any way you slice it, that's not easy for Buffalo to deal with. They'll finish the season with three division games in a row, two of which are at home, against New England, against the Jets, and then again at New England. They don't play New England the first time until 3 days before Christmas, but then they'll play them twice before the end of the season in their last three games. And so you talked about Buffalo. We spoke about Buffalo and their changing of the guard personnel-wise. They still got that guy, Josh Allen. And again, when I finish this segment, I can't wait for you to chime in. Josh Allen is one of those guys that if it were a combine, you would go, I've never seen anything like that. That size and speed and strength. But there's something there that a lot of folks are wanting to see him do better with. And the interesting part is, again, we always talk on this program. I say it every week. Who's the backup? Mitchell Trubisky is his backup. So there's Buffalo's depth at that position. Still got James Cook at running back. The very, very funny, and who's had a great offseason, Keon Coleman is going to be the guy to step in to see if his humor in the offseason can parlay into effectiveness on the field, because he's been a lot of fun to listen to in his press conferences out of Florida State. He's slotted to be the receiver opposite Curtis Samuel. Dalton Kincaid is still his tight end. The keeper, Josh Allen, is to avoid the monster hit that could cripple his team, because I'm not sure that there's another team, I'm sure there are, in the league more dependent on whether their quarterback is behind center than Josh Allen is for the Buffalo Bills. My goodness gracious, he led him in rushing probably more times than not last year. On the defensive side of the ball, can Matt Milano come back from his season-ending injury? Still got Ed Oliver, who's been a staple in the middle there. Greg Rousseau out of Miami is the left defensive end projected to be. And they still got your former guy, Von Miller, on that roster, who's on the tail end of his career. He's been fighting through injuries throughout. We'll see if he can replicate what he used to be about. Taylor Rapp's at safety, Christian Benford, but they lost Hyde as well in the offseason. So they've lost some pieces on that side of the football. Sean McDermott, it seems to be solidified. You know, I thought he was on shaky legs there for a while, Rick, but it looks like he may have righted the ship in terms of him staying there. I do think for Buffalo, though, winning division is first and foremost. This year could be very, very interesting. And as I hand it back to you, it's all about whether they can make up for Stephon Diggs, and can Josh Allen take the next step to build his team to the next level of the playoffs.
Yeah, I just don't know what to make of him. I mean, we've talked about it. I don't think he's a bad dude. He doesn't come across that way. But you mentioned, too, the physicality of his game. I mean, that's the kind of guy that, you know, teammates, they latch onto that. They see how he's willing to sacrifice himself. And he goes out and he does these things. He's not worried about his numbers. But yet, I don't know what it is, David. Something doesn't seem to resonate with him having the kind of leadership that you would think he would have on that football team. And they made their choice, right? I mean, they said, look, this whole rift is not going to be solvable, so let's get rid of Stephon Diggs. We'll see. Like you said, your brother makes a great point. Let's see if it is him. We're going to know if he's down there with a guy like C.J. Stroud. If there's a problem down there with that guy, then you know all along it was Diggs. But I don't know. Buffalo's missing something with Allen, and I just can't put my finger on it.
And if it's indeed a guy like that who may not have the leadership component, you would think Buffalo, after all these years, would have put others around him to take care of that. Get a locker room guy to be that way, that can snap him into the leadership world he needs to be in. In other words, get someone else to do the leading and let him play.
Right.
Somebody
right.
in there needs to be able to grab somebody at times. And maybe they think Von Miller is that guy, but it's going to be real interesting to see, because I think Buffalo has seen these 11-6 seasons winning the AFC East, and you know they were within a couple of plays of getting to the Super Bowl a couple of years ago before the 13-second miracle of Kansas City. So we'll see if that can replicate itself this year. But speaking of really a transition, the New England Patriots, for the first time in 25 years just about, they're going to have a new head coach at the helm in Gerard Mayo. And the Patriots, coming off of a 4-13, their fourth-place season last year, they tried all they could with Mac Jones and the Bill Belichick way, and it looked like it had just run its course. And I'm typically, and I think you're a little bit like this too, I'm not typically a guy that feels like you should just abandon coaches, especially somebody that's got a solid history with it. This one felt like it was inevitable. It just felt like, while I'm being a bit of a hypocrite here, there are times when it does run its course. Mm-hmm. I'm not so sure a 1 or 2 year guy who's close needs to go sometimes, but 20 some years, guys aren't looking the part. If you know, things just change generationally, maybe some of the old ways aren't as applicable. We're going to find out as New England steps into the season with Gerard Mayo, Virginia native. We're going to see how that all plays out. Played at Tennessee, if I'm not mistaken. We're going to find out real quick, because the Patriots, the first four games, three are on the road. They're at Cincinnati, home to Seattle, at the Jets, at San Francisco. Rick, they could easily be 0-4 right out the gate. I think a lot of folks are feeling like this is going to be a longer grind than a quicker fix, particularly with the new coach and trying to get this quarterback thing figured out. But fortunately for them, the one thing that they did that I thought was brilliant is they got Jacoby Brissett back, and he's going to run that show early on. I'd be more than surprised, and everything I've read and heard talks about Drake May just having to figure it out, and Gerard Mayo has played it perfectly. He's not giving him the keys to it yet, because I don't think he feels like he needs to or if he's ready for it. So Jacoby Brissett's on that roster. He's going to probably take the lead. Drake May is the backup. Bailey Zappe and Joe Milton is on that roster too. They may actually keep all four of these guys. Joe Milton, of course, played at Tennessee, got injured, and then Hendon Hooker came in and became a Heisman candidate before he got hurt. Joe Milton, a ton of talent, throw the ball out the stadium, throw an orange out the stadium. Don't know if he'll get on the field. Ramondre Stevenson, they re-signed him as a running back position. They feel good about him. Will Jalen Polk, DeMario Douglas, and Kendrick Bourne at wide receiver be enough to solidify those guys? Hunter Henry is really, really good. And their offensive line, headlined by Jake Andrews at center, is really, really good. The key is, will they just be talented enough as a football team to take advantage of a great offensive line? The thing I don't worry about as much, I love when defensive-minded coaches have become head coaches. You didn't feel like that side of the ball is going to be okay, and Gerard Mayo should be able to take care of that. And as far as New England's end of their season goes, their final four games of the year, I wish to get these home stretches for these teams to kind of see how these things will play out. They're at Arizona, at Buffalo, then home for the Chargers, and then home for Buffalo to close out the season. So there's your New England Patriots in a nutshell. The post-Bill Belichick and Mac Jones era has concluded. We will see what that means, and we'll transition right into the New York Jets, who's had, again, Aaron Rodgers 2.0. We were here last summer, very, very optimistic about what they were going to be. And Aaron Rodgers plays four plays and goes out. It was the most insane thing you've ever seen.
No doubt.
I still think about that, Rick. Wasn't that crazy?
It was.
It was insane to see that. They were in third place last year. Interestingly enough, when I pulled these numbers, they were 7-10 last year with no quarterback. 7-10 last year, no quarterback. This year they feel important enough to have 6 primetime games, 8 of which are very significant games. They open the season at San Francisco on Monday night. They turn right around, and they've got to go to Tennessee. Their first two games are on the road. Some games of note this year, they're home for Buffalo on the 14th, at Pittsburgh on the 20th, and then home for Houston on the 31st. So that's a 17-day stretch where they're going to have 3 playoff teams out of 4. They close out the season against the Rams at home, at Buffalo, and home for Miami. There's a lot of optimism about the Jets, including yours truly. Robert Saleh and the whole group has a level of desperation that's pretty much saying this is it. This is absolutely it. They're all in. We know the pieces. Aaron Rodgers with Tyrod Taylor, Virginia Tech's own, as a quarterback room. Jordan Travis is a backup there. Breece Hall, and you got Garrett Wilson. There's Mike Williams, formerly of the Chargers. Xavier Gibson is penciled in as the third wide receiver, Tyler Conklin at tight end. And, of course, Tyron Smith, formerly of the Cowboys, and Morgan Moses, formerly of the Ravens, UVA zone. The line is built. They drafted Oli Fashanu from Penn State as a backup lineman. Everything's checking all the boxes. I don't even have to go through the litany of names on defense, but I will. Javon Kinlaw, Quinnen Williams, his brother Quincy Williams, C.J. Mosley, Chuck Clark, formerly of the Ravens, Virginia Tech's own. There are a ton of names. Hassan Reddick, I'm assuming they can get him buttoned up. They, Rick, everything you want from a football team, veterans, rookies, exuberance, and excitement is lined up for the Jets. It is sitting there for them. And as New England and Buffalo transition, the Jets seem to be as solid as they can be. And then, of course, I leave for last, and not necessarily least, is my Miami Dolphins.
Your Fins.
The Fins, baby. 11-6 last year, second place. And the reason they end up in second place is because they decided to lose home games to Tennessee for some weird reason. And then in the last game of the year, with a chance to not have to go to Kansas City to play in 4-below weather, they decided to lose a home game to Buffalo. And so they go to Kansas City and have to deal with that versus hosting a game. So that's what they got, and that's what they deserve. The ability to not finish has been their thing. And I think that's why Tua's contract right now is being delayed, because they need to see us beat us, meaning Miami.
Yeah.
A team of quality. They need to see us do it. And last year it was a lot of smoke and mirrors. And listen, you got pieces. You're talking about, you know, Tyreek Hill. You're talking about Tua. Exciting to watch. But after the Denver debacle, sorry, Rick.
No,
where they put
okay.
up a 70, they never quite got back up to 40. And so there was a lot of inflation in the numbers. But we certainly understand the speed and the threat. And so that opens things up. We're going to find out how much it opens things up. Their first three or four is at home. They open up against Jacksonville and, of course, the aforementioned Buffalo game on that Thursday night. They got to go out west to Seattle, and then they're home for Tennessee for a Monday night 7:30 game, and then they're at New England, get an early bye after that. In the middle of the season, there's a back-to-back stretch where they're at Buffalo and at the Rams, and then the final stretch for Miami, I'm not in love with, starting with Thanksgiving at Green Bay. Then they're home for the Jets. Then they're at Houston, home for the Niners, and then they close the season. You know they're going to do Miami this way, Rick. We got to go to the cold. We're going to go to Cleveland on the 29th of December, and then we're going to go play Aaron Rodgers and the Jets for the final game Sunday, January 5th, which will definitely mean something. So there's Miami in cold weather gear the last two games of the season. Of course, it really all starts when they've got to go to Green Bay on Thanksgiving. I can only hope that it's fair in Green Bay for that time. And we know the list of characters. We've got Tua, we've got Mostert, we got Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, Odell Beckham Jr., and a solid offensive line. The key now with Fangio gone is, will the defense be able to be better version of themselves? I say no. I'm a little skeptical on them. And then while I'm yapping here, I'll go ahead and make my picks for the division. I will start by saying I think the Jets will win the division. I think Buffalo will be second, Miami third, and the Patriots in fourth. That is my pick and prediction for the AFC East. What say you, my friend?
Well, I'm going to switch it up. I'm going to say that Buffalo's still going to win the division. I'm going to go your Dolphins second. Jets third for me.
Ooh, ooh.
Hey, all I know is Nathaniel Hackett is still on that staff. And if they lose Aaron Rodgers again, they're not going to be able to supplement that anymore. Plus, he may sabotage that team with his mouth anyway. And then I've got, of course, New England. Let me ask you real quick before I let you go.
Yeah.
What is your long-term confidence level in Mike McDaniel?
I'm a fan, but I'm also probably the worst guy to ask, because I am a sucker for schemes and bells and whistles and fluff.
That's fair.
Than you would think. And so I feel like being able to play in space and play with speed and – you can't hit what you can't catch. I'm a little bit more of a lean that way, recognizing the fact that football is still in the trenches and that kind of thing. But you better be dominant in those spaces to do it. I really feel like last year, as much as I'm soured on the fact that we didn't end well, keep in mind that I sit and watch guys get hurt on Thanksgiving, walk off the field with injuries not even being touched. And so down the stretch, we were warped on the defensive end. We had guys out. Jalen Ramsey didn't even get to play
right
a lot of the season last year. And then we lost Chubb and several defensive ends throughout the end of the season. So I'm a fan of what he can do on the offensive end. It's yet to be determined if our style is physical enough to deal with the AFC North, who we're going to talk about next week, because Pittsburgh and Baltimore, they don't care about all that.
No.
They're going to bludgeon you. they're trying to beat you to sleep. And if, when they do catch you, they're going to let you pay for it. And so I think that's a real issue, as you saw what Baltimore did to us last year, put 56 on us up there. So I think that's important. And let's not forget, the Kansas City Chiefs are still sitting over there, and they've got dudes too. And so I think we get enamored by Mahomes, and we think that they're fast-break football, but they're physical too. So I – long answer, longer than you want it. I'm a fan, but they've got to get physical enough on the other side of the ball to convince me that it's a long-term solution.
Agreed. I think that's very fair. Well, listen, man, I appreciate you as always. Not a week goes by. I don't have somebody or multiple people tell me how much they enjoy your segment. So I appreciate you as always. And
that is too awesome.
I hope you, and Rick, your fam have a terrific fourth, man. Give my best to your daughters.
You got it, brother. We will do that. I'll let Wifey know as well. And
we'll
do the AFC North next week, brother. Looking forward to it.
All right, brother. Thank you so much, David. You take care. Great stuff,
you too,
as
buddy.
Always. There you go. That's great, man. David Smith. David Sayer, just listen. Again, he knows more than any of those morons you're going to watch on TV. You listen to David Smith break stuff down, then go watch one of those talking head shows and tell me who's giving you better information. It's not even close. One day, the podcast will come. My brother, David Smith. We'll be back. More coming up here on a Tuesday.
BDST and the NRV.
At the bottom of the hour, we're going to take another break here. We'll come back. Got to take care of all these wonderful folks supporting the program. We'll be back. Final segment for Tuesday when we return. Coming up right after this. Minutes past the hour. Thanks to David Smith. Good stuff from him as always. You know, going back into what he's talking about, I don't know, I was just thinking about it there during the break about the whole Josh Allen thing. If you're a Bills fan, I don't know how many Bills fans we have around here. We have a lot of Dolphins fans in the area. Patriots fans will start falling away by the hundreds now that they're not supposed to be very good going forward. He's got Josh Allen, all the intangibles, right? Big guy, 6'7", strong arm. He runs the ball. He makes defenders pay when he runs. I don't know what it is with him, but there seems to be a lack of connection with his teammates. I don't see his teammates willing to run through a wall for him. He's had problems with various teammates, not just Stephon Diggs. There's something doesn't seem to be there for him. And I don't know what that is. And hopefully we'll figure it out so you don't waste a career like that. And I know he's had success, but, you know, is he going to be another Dan Marino? Is he going to be a guy that has all these tangibles? Nobody had a better arm than Marino. Of course, they locked it up every week, man, throwing the ball down the field. That's something else I got to talk to David about. If that kind of what he reminds him of. Now, Josh Allen has not been to a Super Bowl yet. Marino got to one, never got to another one. You just wonder. You know, and everybody, and David's right, the hype on the Jets is just insane. It's crazy how much the NFL really wants the Jets to be prominent again. They need one of their New York teams, I guess, despite their massive popularity and making all-time revenue. They need one of their New York teams to step forward. Giants seem to be on the downside of things. They decided a couple years ago to live or die by Daniel Jones, and it appears as if they're dying on the vine. I thought that Brian Raybould would come in and the new coach, and it looked like he was going to have turn that thing around overnight. Well, it's kind of gone the other way. And now everybody's back on the Jets and Aaron Rodgers and all the additions they made. And Jets, Jets, Jets. As David mentioned, 6 primetime games. Man, that's a lot for a team that hasn't won anything. Hasn't been to any Super Bowl since Super Bowl III, when the very confident Joe Namath said we're going to win the game against the 18-point favorite Baltimore Colts, and they did. Changed the game forever. It's crazy to think about that division, and now it's a foregone conclusion the Patriots are at least going to be predicted to be in last by just about everybody. Gerard Mayo replacing Bill Belichick. If you've seen all this, you know, some real... I didn't look into it because I don't want to know. But I saw some tweets, and I don't even know if it's accurate. But, you know, he's dating the 72-year-old dating the 24-year-old.
Well, I mean, you know, I had a Hall of Fame career, and, you know, if I don't have Tom anymore, I figured I would go ahead and try it this way. Thanks, Bill.
And then I saw something about he had a lot of, like, very graphic DMs, direct messages that have been uncovered to the 24-year-old. Is that real?
I can still talk the game. I wouldn't be talking the game if I didn't feel like I could play the game there, Rick. Any privacy that I have with this young lady is strictly up to us. Don't appreciate those being released. It's on to the next DM. I'm moving on to the next DM.
So I don't know if that's a thing or not. But if that is a thing and that starts to get out there, oof. Oof. I mean, I just don't want it to come out to tarnish that legacy even further. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. We'll see. We shall see.
But I don't know. I don't know what it is with Josh Allen. I just something is not there. I mean, already C.J. Stroud's come in as a rookie last year and has more respect from that team than Josh Allen seems to have ever gotten from any of his prior teams in Buffalo. Some guys have it, and some guys just do not. That's true. Wayne from Ohio.
I have this hoodie that she likes to wear. And that's what really got us going when I met her one day. It was really cold. So I looked over and saw this attractive young lady. And I said, hey, you look a little cold. Would you like to wear my hoodie? She hesitated for a bit, and then she nodded and said, yes, I would love your hoodie. We've been together ever since. Hoodie united, she and I.
But I don't want to read anything else about Bill Belichick, potential, you know, strongly suggested DMs going forward. I look at the AFC and I see all these contenders, you know, all these good teams. And I just think the Chiefs sit back and they just kind of smile. Must be nice. It's what the Patriots were able to do for so many years. When you have that guy, when you have the unicorn, like they have in Patrick Mahomes, and everybody else trying to find theirs, trying to replicate what's going on. I mean, the Chiefs know that they're so far ahead of everybody in their own division that immediately they're going to be a playoff team. And then you start process of elimination, right? Is Houston going to continue to develop? Will Trevor Lawrence in the South, will Jacksonville ever stand up? What about Richardson in Indy? Is he going to actually stay healthy? Tennessee's a mess. Lamar Jackson and the Ravens always seem to be there, right? But they just can't quite find that playoff magic. Steelers are in a transition mode with Russell Wilson, Justin Fields. Oof. Joe Burrow can't stay healthy. And then the Browns are just an absolute abstract mess. Lots of talent on that team. Myles Garrett, arguably the best defensive player in football. But the whole Deshaun Watson thing just hasn't worked. And then you've got the East. We've just broke it down. I just don't think the Chiefs are sitting around worried about too much right now. Long as they stay healthy, they're going to score a lot of points. They've got a good defense. David mentioned that. I just don't see them having, at least, maybe I'm wrong, injuries can change it, but if it's not the Ravens and if Houston doesn't take another step, somebody tell me who's supposed to beat them again in the AFC. I just don't think there's a lot of candidates to unseat them. And the NFC seems more wide open. We just previewed that, of course, over the last month with David. I don't think there's a clear favorite in the NFC. I think Detroit's going to get a lot of love, rightfully so. San Francisco always seems to get too much. I think the Rams are going to be a dangerous football team. Are the Cowboys ever going to step through under Dak? The Eagles, Jalen Hurts. Can he stay healthy? Is he all of a sudden introduced us all to the now going to be the injured Jalen Hurts? The South, nobody's really a contender in that division. Atlanta, you know, they look like they made a great move in getting Kirk Cousins, and then they drafted his replacement in the first round. So I just don't know, and that's why training camp's always so intriguing, because there's always one or two or three teams that step up that end up being better than we think, and all of a sudden, oh, look at this through 4 weeks. Where'd this guy come from? It's kind of what Houston did last year. But the Chiefs feel like at least going into the season, they really feel like, to me, heavy favorites again, and it's all because of that Mahomes Andy Reid thing. They've come up, I'm sure, with more things than they've ever utilized before in that offense. They've already proven they don't need a dominant running game. They just need serviceable running backs. They've already proven they don't need a dominant wide receiver. They just need serviceable wide receivers. And you've got Taylor Swift's boyfriend who's still uncoverable after all these years. And that defense has improved mightily. I think that's been the key for me. But I'm telling you what, as a fellow AFC West team fan member, being a Broncos lifer, it's really depressing to know that the Chiefs just seem like they are ready for the long haul. They really do. The longest of the long hauls. And I might be wrong, because we've thought that before, that there were going to be shoe-in dynasties, and then it doesn't always work out that way. All right, we're going to take our final break. Where does Wayne find these things? He just found a Bill Belichick Walk of Shame video. I guess he's leaving somebody's house. Is that real? What is that? What is that? Look away, look away, look away. Yeah, another text message. I'm a Raiders fan. They're a quarterback hit away from being garbage. Yeah, I know, man. We just have to suffer together. Raiders and Broncos fans have to unite, because we're all trying to figure out a way to get back into this divisional race. I'm not sure it's going to happen with Mahomes there. We're back to wrap it up after this.
Big Dog Sports Talk.
Menu in his hand. walking through the streets of Soho in the rain. He was looking for the place called Lee Ho Fooks. Gonna get a big dish of beef chow mein.
All right.
Werewolves of London.
Thanks to Jermaine Farrell and David Smith. Mike Burnham will be back with us next week, as he's on vacation this week with his entourage. Gorgeous day in the hood. Tomorrow, Keon Brown. We'll get updated on all the NBA free agency. Scheduled to be joined by Bill Roth, the Roth Report, and David Teal tomorrow on the Wednesday edition, the day before the 4th of July. Wayne, I don't know where he found it, but Wayne found actual footage of Bill Belichick apparently leaving his girlfriend's house without a shirt, it looked like. That just... All right. All right. Enjoy. Enjoy. And everybody, enjoy. Take that image and enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Here at News Center 4. I'm Ron Burgundy.
You stay classy, New River Valley.